Hello, friends. I'm Pastor Pitts Evans. Welcome to the Whole Word Podcast. Let's get right to the Word of God. Jeremiah chapter 14. This is the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning the drought. Judah mourns, her cities languish. They wail for the land, and a cry goes up from Jerusalem. The nobles send their servants for water. They go to the cisterns, but they find no water. They return with their jars unfilled, dismayed and despairing. They cover their heads. The ground is cracked because there is no rain in the land. The farmers are dismayed and cover their heads. Even the doe in the field deserts her newborn fawn because there is no grass. Wild donkeys stand on the barren heights and pant like jackals. Their eyes fail for lack of food. Although our sins testify against us, do something, Lord, for the sake of your name. For we have often rebelled. We have sinned against you. You who are the hope of Israel, its Savior in times of distress, why are you like a stranger in the land, like a traveler who stays only for a night? Why are you like a man taken by surprise, like a warrior powerless to save? You're among us, Lord, and we bear your name. Do not forsake us. This is what the Lord says about this people. They greatly love to wander. They do not restrain their feet. So the Lord does not accept them. He will now remember their wickedness and punish them for their sins. Then the Lord said to me, "Do not pray for the well-being of this people. Although they fast, I will not listen to their cry. Though they offer burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Instead, I will destroy them with the sword, famine, and plague." But I said, "Alas, sovereign Lord, the prophets keep telling them, 'You will not see the sword or suffer famine.' Indeed, I will give you lasting peace in this place." Then the Lord said to me, "The prophets are prophesying lies in my name. I have not sent them or appointed them or spoken to them. They're prophesying to you false visions, divinations, idolatries, and the delusions of their own minds. Therefore, this is what the Lord says about the prophets who are prophesying in my name. I did not send them, yet they are saying, 'No sword or famine will touch this land.' Those same prophets will perish by the sword and the famine. And the people they're prophesying to will be thrown out into the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and sword. There will be no one to bury them, their wives, their sons, and their daughters. I will pour out on them the calamity they deserve. Speak this word to them. Let my eyes overflow with tears night and day without ceasing. For the virgin daughter, my people, has suffered a grievous wound, a crushing blow. If I go into the country, I see those slain by the sword. If I go into the city, I see the ravages of famine. Both prophet and priest have gone to a land they know not. Have you rejected Judah completely? Do you despise Zion? Why have you afflicted us so that we cannot be healed? We hoped for peace, but no good has come. For a time of healing, but there's only terror. We acknowledge our wickedness, Lord, and the guilt of our ancestors. We have indeed sinned against you. For the sake of your name, don't despise us. Do not dishonor your glorious throne. Remember your covenant with us and do not break it. Do any of the worthless idols of the nations bring rain? Do the skies themselves send down showers? No, it is you, Lord our God. Therefore, our hope is in you. For you are the one who does all of this." Now this chapter, it's interesting for a lot of reasons, but it's about drought. It's about famine, about sword and pestilence or plagues. But the setting is the siege of Babylon coming on Jerusalem. So in the midst of this horrific impending disaster from the Babylonians, the Lord withholds the rain because of judgment. So he says, this is the word of the Lord concerning the drought. Judah mourns, her cities languish, they wail for the land. A cry goes up from Jerusalem. The nobles send their servants for water. They go to the cisterns, but they find no water. They return with their jars unfilled, etc. The ground is cracked because there's no rain in the land. The farmers are dismayed. Even the animals, the does and the wild donkeys, don't have food and water. So let's just pause for a second. This drought is the judgment of the Lord. It's clear from this text as we go through it. The lack of rain is because of the judgment of the Lord. If you're following with me, the change in climate is because of the judgment of the Lord. This is not something that is a natural phenomenon. This is something that is being manipulated for the judgment on the earth. Now, I don't know that there's a direct parallel with so-called climate change, but it is clear from the scriptures that the Lord withholds favorable weather as a vehicle to get mankind's attention. Often in the scriptures, he withholds rain in one place and distorts the growing seasons and these kind of things to get mankind to seek him and to turn toward him. So this continues. The Lord says the reason for this drought is they're in sin. Jeremiah agrees that they're in sin, but he reasons with the Lord. The Lord could help if he wanted to, and they've been in sin before. He says, we've often rebelled. We have sinned against you. You who are the hope of Israel, its savior in times of distress, why are you a stranger in the land, like a traveler who stays for only a night? Why are you like a man taken by surprise, like a warrior powerless to save? So in other words, Lord, if you wanted to do something, you still could. Jeremiah is told once again by the Lord not to pray for these people. He says, do not pray for the well-being of this people, because I will destroy them with the sword, famine, and plague. So Jeremiah is trying to intercede and to intervene, but the Lord is saying, now this is a done deal. It's decided. Jeremiah then shifts gears and blames the false prophets for misleading the people. He says, Lord, the prophets keep telling the people, you will not see the sword or suffer famine. Indeed, they say, I will give you lasting peace, claiming the Lord will give lasting peace in this place. And the Lord agrees that the false prophets are complicit, but he says, they too will be judged. This is the word of the Lord. The prophets are prophesying lies in my name. I have not sent them or appointed them or spoken to them. They are prophesying to you false visions, divinations, idolatries, and the delusions of their own mind. Therefore, this is what the Lord says about the prophets who are prophesying in my name. I did not send them, yet they're saying, no sword or famine will touch this land. Those same prophets will perish by the sword and by the famine. And so the Lord isn't happy about all of this. He's not pleased that he's been forced into judging Judah, but he's resolute. And Jeremiah recognizes that the Lord says, you speak these words to him. Jeremiah responds, let my eyes overflow with tears, night and day without ceasing. For the virgin daughter, my people, has suffered a grievous wound, a crushing blow. If I go into the country, I see those slain by the sword. If I go into the city, I see the ravages of the famine. Both prophet and priest have gone to a land they know not. And then Jeremiah, once again, repents for his people and intercedes, even though the Lord had told him not to. He attempts to repent vicariously for the collective sins of his people. He says, have you rejected Judah completely? Do you despise Zion? Lord, we acknowledge our wickedness and the guilt of our ancestors. We have indeed sinned against you. Notice the pronouns. He doesn't say they acknowledge their wickedness. He puts himself in the midst of his people. We acknowledge our wickedness and the guilt of our ancestors. We have sinned against you. And in point of fact, friends, Jeremiah may not have done anything, but he's identifying with his people in this prayer. This is a high form of intercession. And so he goes on and says, Lord, do any of the worthless idols of the nations bring rain? Do the skies themselves send down showers? No, it is you, Lord our God. Now, friends, take that to the bank. Whether the rains come or whether they're withheld, it is not the phenomenon of nature. It is not some phenomenon caused by mankind. The scripture said, the Lord our God is the one who brings the rain. The Lord our God is the one who brings down showers, or conversely, withholds them. And the reason sometimes that the weather patterns are distorted are to get the attention of mankind and get them to repent. I don't know that this so-called global climate change is a natural phenomenon or man-made phenomenon, but I know what the scriptures say, that the Lord is the one who often distorts the weather to get the attention of those on the earth. He, at the end of the day, is in control of the weather, not mankind. And so, Lord, we pray that you would be not only in charge of the atmosphere, the climate, the rain, and all of these things, Lord, but we pray that there would be no drought, there would be no famine, there would be no plagues, because we're not listening. God, help mankind to listen. You're reaching out day after day in your grace and your mercy, saying, turn, repent, receive the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, receive the free gift of salvation. Lord, may many receive, may hearts be turned toward you. Lord, may we not have to be like Israel, facing drought and famine and sword and plague. Lord, may we not be like Israel and have the rain withheld on the land, resulting in no grass and no food. God, help us. Have mercy on us. Turn our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Whole Word. It was brought to you by Whole Word Fellowship and the Northern Virginia House of Prayer. If you were encouraged, please share our podcast with your friends. We'd also appreciate it if you'd hit subscribe in your favorite podcast app and take a few moments to write a review. If you'd like more information on our church and our ministry, you can go to wholeword.net or wholewordpodcast.com for more information. Thank you again, and may the Lord Jesus bless you today and always.